Scripture for this afternoon will come from the book of Acts, chapter 13, and we'll read verses 38 through 39. Once again, that's the book of Acts, chapter 13. The verses are verses 38 and 39. And if you have it, let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses.
Good afternoon. It is a delight that you're here, and we're thankful for your presence. What a wonderful day we've had so far. Sunday is far and away, for me personally, one of the best weeks of the days of the week, because I get to see all of you, spend time together, and we get to worship the Lord. Greatly encouraging, greatly edifying, prepare you for the rest of the week. Yes, you found it so? Amen, amen. I don't think that's nearly due to aging as much as spiritual maturity. I think both of them, and maybe that's going together. Maybe you get older and you get more mature. I'm just talking. Good to see y'all. Glad you're here. Several people after the Bible study came up to me and shared with me their assessment of the congregation, one, two, or three. If you were here, you know what I'm talking about. There were a lot of ones and twos and a lot of blending of the bunch. Overall, I think we're a fun, loving, poke fun at you, caring congregation is the general gist that I got. Would you agree with that? Don't you say yes now. You wouldn't say nothing in Bible class. Just sat there and begging for help, drowning in a sea, getting nothing. The Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 13, he is preaching the gospel. If Paul were preaching to us today, if Paul were preaching to you, what would you hear? I was thinking, as you read through the sermons in the New Testament, and they are sermons, they are preaching, I was impressed by how short they were. And it got me to thinking, A, wow. B, that should ring something in here. This morning, I think, fit. Do you agree? But it needs to make sense. Why are they short? And then here's my conclusion about that in part is the scriptures in the New Testament, the sermons are most frequently to Jews. Guess what they knew? Which means a lot of their sermons aren't teaching. They're just references. Did you hear how much of the Bible we went through this morning in about 6 or 8 verses? How was Paul able to just seamlessly move from the promises to Abraham, the Exodus, the conquering of the land, the judges, the kings, the prophets, and arrive at John the Baptist in about 8 verses? Guess what he didn't have to do? Convince anybody that it was true and teach anybody the facts. Well, that's not typically what happens today, is it? A lot of times people don't know that material, and you end up doing a lot of teaching to get to the point of preaching. I'm not saying that's good or even right. I'm just saying I think that's what ends up happening. We spend a lot of time trying to teach, and that's not an excuse, because we need to preach and not teach, and so we need to get to the point. The point with regards to salvation is that would be the sermon. If Paul were preaching, we talked this morning about Jesus. That would be the body and the material. Ultimately, it would be about salvation, and that would be the point. Throughout this sermon, the rest of it, after Paul referenced all of that Old Testament history, verse that we had read for us in verse number 38, beginning, said that, let it be known to you, therefore. The point would be salvation is through Jesus Christ. That was the first point. I had it on the screen quickly, but that would be the point. Point number one is salvation is through Jesus. Note what he says. Let it be known to you, therefore. All of that background material led to this point. Let it be known, therefore, to you, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sin is proclaimed to you. And by him, you will note the connection to the law. By him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which the law could not free you. Everything that first covenant could not do is done through Jesus. He said forgiveness of sins is preached. Look over at verse 26. Go back to verse 26 and hear what he says there. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. The words are used interchangeably. The forgiveness of sins is preached through his name, proclaimed to you. Salvation is proclaimed to you. Jesus is the end of the law and the means through which God saves. The Jews would have needed to know that first and foremost, for unfortunately, he was the very one they rejected. And while they put their trust in the law of Moses, you hear Paul here saying what the law could not do. If you were to read the book of Hebrews, which I understand it was a great study with Dan last week, but if you read through that book, it's overwhelmingly clear. Jesus is God's high priest. Jesus is God's lawgiver. Jesus is God's sacrifice for sin. Hebrews chapter 10, the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. And so a body was prepared, Hebrews 10, 4 and 5, right in that section. And you hear Jesus say in Matthew 26 through 28, this is my blood of the New Testament, the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of sins. And so the first point that Paul would have preached with regards to salvation, after all of that buildup, would have been salvation is through Jesus Christ. But that would dovetail nicely into the second point, and that's this. Particularly for the Jews, you could miss it. You could miss out on salvation. Paul says to them, verse 40 and 41, a warning. Beware. Beware, therefore, lest it be said, lest what is said in the prophets should come about. And then he quotes the prophet. Look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish, for I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you. The quote comes from the book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk. That's what I want to say. Chapter 1, verse 5 and verse number 6 in that book, Habakkuk is lamenting God's use, or at least in his mind, what appears to be a lack of judgment and justice on the part of God. Habakkuk will say he's crying out and justice is fallen and there seems to be no help, no righteousness around him. And then God actually says what Paul quotes here. God's answer is, I'm going to work a work in your days that even if it were told you, you wouldn't believe. Well, the work that God is going to do in the days of Habakkuk is to raise up Babylon. He's going to raise up the Chaldeans and he's going to use them to judge God's people. Now, later in the book, Habakkuk will have a problem with that. But that's what God says. I'm going to work a work. Here, Paul takes that quote and applies it to the Jews. And the astounding part about that is they have already rejected Jesus. And so Paul says it's happening right now in front of you. Beware this doesn't happen. Beware you don't miss out on being saved by the very one God sends to you. And I'm telling you, it could happen. It's rather amazing. You go back and read through the early parts of the sermon, he's actually kind of already said that. When he walked through the Exodus, the judges and Joshua and the kings, when he mentioned the prophets back in verse 27, and David in Psalm 2 and in Psalm 16, they had already missed the Christ. In fact, he says over here earlier that the prophets are read every week. In fact, Paul is preaching this sermon in a synagogue, having heard the law and the prophets read. Think about that for just a moment. Remember how this sermon began. He went into a synagogue. He sat down, and as they were, after they read the law and read the prophets, they said, "Paul, brethren, do you have anything to say?" And what does he do? He stands up in that place and he preaches Jesus. And he quotes the Old Testament. And he walks all the way through. And now he just said, through this man is preached the forgiveness of sins. And then he follows it with this: "Brethren, you might miss it. Look, you scoffers, a work is being worked in your days that if a man told you, you wouldn't believe it." You know how sad it is to watch people miss salvation? To have somebody who knows the truth. It must have been tough for the Apostle Paul to watch his countrymen reject salvation and have him quote their scriptures and preach to them Jesus, and they watch and reject Jesus. And yet it happens. Some will miss salvation. Some will mistakenly believe they are already saved, and so I'm in no need of it. You don't typically accept things you don't need. "Well, I want to give you this. I want to offer you this." "Well, I already got it." "No, thank you." Relatives have told me, "I'm already saved, Eric. You don't need to talk to me." I've heard them say within our family, "We ain't going to be talking about religion." "No, that's not what we're going to. We're not going to be fighting. I'm not fighting with you. I'm not talking." And you say, "Listen, I can't force it." Okay. There will be a great many people just like these people. Salvation will be preaching. Paul would be warning us today. Beware. Beware you don't miss out on the God's great offer of salvation. But then thirdly, the Apostle Paul would have taught us this: a choice will be made about salvation. A choice always is made. As they went out, after enduring this preaching, after they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered together to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling them. These two choices are always made with regards to salvation. A choice is demanded when it comes to being saved, because grace is God's offer. And you know what you can do with offers? You can accept them or you can reject them. You got to make a decision. "I want to give you something." "I don't want it." A choice will be made. Salvation is an invitation, and invitations can be refused. "Will you come over with me?" "No, I will not." "Will you come with me?" "I would be glad to come." It's an invitation, and so it can be refused. You read throughout the Bible and you find these same two reactions every single time salvation is broached. Noah is going to preach, and they will not accept the invitation. And then Lot is going to preach and invite and say, "Come on, let's go." And he's going to seem as one who mocks. And throughout the Bible, there will be invitations offered. There's a great wedding feast in the New Testament. There's an invitation of whosoever will, let him come. Many people will refuse, but some will accept. You see the same two invitations here. These Jews and devout people followed Paul, and the Bible says they begged him. Sounds like Acts chapter 2. When the apostles preached the word there, they told the people, "Save yourselves." And they that gladly received their word were saved. Acts chapter 5, there were some people there heard the same message, and they bit and devoured them and gnashed their teeth at them and offered and said they would beat them and kill them. Salvation is offered, and a choice will be made every single time the subject is broached. And that brings us to the next point. Right there in the middle of Paul's sermon, Paul says something very interesting. He says, you will be your own judge. There are some people with this notion that no God I love, the God I love, the God I serve, God would never send anybody to hell. That there could be no way a person could lose their salvation. God is so good and merciful. I don't know what Bible they've read. I don't know what Bible they've read. But before we even get to God's judgment, Paul says, you judge. You judge yourselves by your decision and your choices. Note verses 46 through 48. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Now you should hold that in the context of the first century Jews. That the salvation was offered to them first. In fact, Paul says it was necessary. Romans 1:16 and 17 says as much. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Jesus affirmed it in John chapter 4 when he talked to the woman at the well. She said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you Jews say in Jerusalem is the way that men ought to worship. Jesus said, we know what we worship. You know not what you worship, for salvation is of the Jews. They are the natural branch, Romans chapter 11. Everything about the Bible says Jews first, but it doesn't say Jew only. Absolutely says Jew first. Paul says it was necessary, and it did. That the word should be preached to you first, and it did. It came to you first. But note the next expression. Since you thrust it aside. King James says, since you cast it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. The Jews had every opportunity and every availability to be saved by their Messiah, Jesus the Christ, the fulfillment of the Old Testament scripture. They had every opportunity. Paul says, you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. God had given the means to be saved, Christ. God had given the terms to be saved, the gospel. God had given the consequences. If you refuse and reject the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, you would be lost eternally. God had already said that, made it abundantly clear. Jesus said it in his ministry. The word judge means to distinguish, that is to decide. You have decided yourselves. You have said no. In fact, the definition for unworthy is no or not in direct questioning, expecting an affirmative answer. Would you like to be saved? No. We would have expected you to say yes to that, but no is the answer you receive. I do not want Jesus. Paul says, you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Nobody will go to hell because God set them, as it were, the way people understand that. People are going to be lost because they've decided to reject God's offer of pardon and grace and mercy through Jesus. That's why. But who's making that decision? God doesn't have a concept and a format of distinguishing and deciding, I'm going to save this person, I will reject that person, for no other reason than God likes one and doesn't like the other. That's not the way it works. God offers us salvation and pardon through his son Jesus Christ, and we either accept that or reject that. God offers us terms of pardon, and we either accept those or we reject those. You decide if you will surrender to Jesus. You decide if you will accept his terms. You decide if you will and how and what will be your final destination. You decide that. The Apostle Paul said of the Jews, they judge themselves unworthy of everlasting life. And that brings us to the end of this chapter and the final point of Paul's sermon, and that's this. God won't save you against your will. As this chapter ends, the Apostle Paul says, with reference to what followed, the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. The Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. The audience to whom Paul spoke, the Bible says, the word was growing and they turned against Paul, and it could have reference to more of Paul's dealings with the Jews, but there's an interesting phrase. He shook off the dust from their feet. It's actually a reference to the Jews and how they viewed other nations. When they had to go through Gentile lands, Adam Clark says, that then they traveled through heathen countries, and when they came back to Israel, before they would cross over or when they would get near their border, they would shake off their garments, believing that even the dust from the heathen nations might follow them into Israel. They would shake off their clothing to be rid of any contamination. Now, as you here, the Apostle Paul, who is a Jew, he is now saying that and taking that disposition toward Israel, toward the Jews themselves. They have become the very thing they despised in others and would not accept others. And now by their rejection of the gospel, their rejection of Jesus, here Paul is doing that very thing to them. Shaking off the dust and saying, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. It is worthy of noting that every person who says no to the gospel, I do not want it. You can keep it. I don't believe. I don't want to believe. I don't want anything. Everybody who takes this tact and this position toward God and towards Jesus, there might very well be another person who would love to have the opportunity to hear. The Gentiles rejoiced at the gospel that the Jews rejected. There are people in our lives who would absolutely love to hear the gospel, while there are other people who sit and hear it day after day, week after week, month after month. They've been around it so long, they've heard it so many times, they don't want it. And by their actions, words, and deeds, they've made it abundantly clear it might just be time to shake the dust. It might be time to give somebody else an opportunity of rejoicing to hear it. Aren't the Gentiles worth saving? Aren't those around us who might respond worth giving an opportunity to hear? If Paul were preaching today, you would have heard nothing but scripture. You would have heard the Old Testament walk through, culminating ultimately in Jesus Christ, God's great offer of pardon. You would have heard about his death, his burial, his resurrection. You would have heard about God's promises and fulfillment of prophecy. You would have heard about his offer of salvation, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is offered. You would have heard nothing but God's plan to save. The only question would be, how would you respond? Maybe you know the answer, because I don't. Why isn't God worth accepting to you? Why does a person need 500 times? Why does somebody need 50 times? You know how many people I've talked to who said, as soon as I heard the gospel, I knew. When I heard it, I knew what I was in was not right. It was so simple. It was so plain. I was looking, and when I heard it, I knew. Oh, what's the rationale for not responding? I know. There are some people who in their mind somehow actually believe it's the preacher. There's some people who actually believe, well, the preacher, he didn't say it right. He was too mean. I didn't like how pointed he was. He seemed like he was talking to me direct. He put my mama down. He said something about my daddy. He talked about our religion. And I can't believe, I can't come to, because do you really believe that? You really believe you shouldn't come to Jesus because of something the preacher said? On the other hand, there are some people who go the other direction. The preacher was so good, I couldn't help but come. Do you really believe you came for the preacher? What in the world are you going to tell God when you stand before him? When he talks about his son and his shed blood, what are you going to say? 200 times wasn't enough. 400 times wasn't enough. I was on my way. The Apostle Paul took his agreements. You judge yourself unworthy, we'll turn to the Gentiles. Friends and family, God has been so good to us that we get up off of our knees of thanksgiving and praise, only hopefully to go about the day glorifying and praising his name for his goodness. It's simply testimony to how good he is. But to act and to live as if I'm on my way, I'm getting around to, who do you think you are? And friends, listen, if you're lost in that state, perish you. Sad indeed that you didn't accept God's goodness and grace and mercy while he gave you time. Pray is not your fate. If Paul were your preacher, he would encourage you today, respond to Jesus before it's eternally too late. Would you do it as we stand and as we sing?